intentional walk to Barry Bonds.
2-2 with the bases loaded and one out.
Harper, oh, my God.
Deep to right field. Way.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bases Loaded. Bases Loaded is a fantasy baseball podcast, and I'm your host, Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. And tonight, I am joined by El Roto Nino, better known as George. You can find him on Twitter at Roto_Nino. George, I'm going to say it a different way every time you're on a show now, man. Welcome in.
Hey, man, you run with it. I'm running with it. It's all good.
El Roto Nino.
I'm doing good, though, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
Fantastic. For those who don't know, I'm going to be very honest. We are still pre-recording shows until we get into the regular season. And this is the second podcast of the night. It is now 2 in the morning, and I still have stuff to write. So we're going to have fun with this one. This is going to be episode 65. And we're going to cover part 2 of this outfield breakdown. We're going to cover names outside the top 40. And we did, at least for, over at Fantrax, George and I ranked our top 80 outfielders. So we're going to cover 41 through 80. And we're mostly going to cherry pick names we really want to discuss. And we will post our ranks that you can, so you can see them all. But we're going to cherry pick names that we like because pretty much everybody here is considered a sleeper. They're all going to, and for us here and pretty much industry wide, a sleeper is pretty much defined as somebody going outside the top 150 in ADP. And I think I'm not sure if all of them are, but most of these are. So we're just going to pick and choose and cherry pick them. So,
yeah. And the thing about these two is, you know, we did these rankings like so early, we just haven't had the time to really break all these players down. So at this point, yeah, we're just kind of going off our feel, what we know about them right now, and then picking out these sleepers that we have looked at and that we like.
Well, speak for yourself. When I did this damn outfield preview for Fantrax, I'm doing this pitcher one, man. It made me look at almost just about every one of these names, because again, I go through each one of them and I put their steamer projection down. So it makes me touch base on them a little bit. And if something sticks out, it really makes me look into more. So the rabbit hole happened for me once or twice, but speak for yourself. I looked at almost every one of these damn names. But right at the top, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm not going to talk about everybody, but you mentioned David Dahl last episode. I'm not going to go there. For me, he's right there. Kyle Tucker, same thing. I'm waiting for the playing time. He's still a crowded situation. But the 5 category upside's there. I like him a lot. Where do you have Danny Santana? Because I feel like he's higher ranked in other positions, but now, I mean, he's at 43 for me.
I have Danny Santana. Well, we have him at the exact same spot. I have him 43.
Sweet. And it's because the 2020 upside is there, but he could hit 230 or not even be a starter by midseason.
Yeah, there's absolutely. I think we kind of touched on him at first base, right? And yeah, same points. You know, there's absolutely a possibility that he can get out of the lineup. You know, that play discipline is just so bad. But like you said, there's that 2020.
And you mentioned Calhoun on the last episode. I kind of broke my reasons why I'm a little less optimistic. He's at 45 for me. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., I feel like it was like a lifetime ago we were talking about him, but he's healthy this year. He's back. He's in the outfield. I feel like he's underappreciated. I really like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. this year.
He's definitely one of those guys that I think a lot of people are on right now as a sleeper. And yeah, I can absolutely see it. The one thing that does concern me is I would like to see his contact rate go up a bit. I think it's at 69% this last season. Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's nice, but
it's not nice.
It could be nicer.
Anyway, not much really to say about him. Just different levels of belief. I think he's going to be kind of what we expect. Like the breakout we saw going on last year, I think it can happen this year, and he should be in a better lineup too. So I really like Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Joe Adell?
So I have Adell and Gurriel back to back.
I have them right by each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have Gurriel at 42 and I have Adell at 41.
I have Adell at 46. Actually, I moved him down because I don't trust his playing time, which I'll talk about in a second. But, and I have Gurriel at 44, but why do you have Joe Adell for, like, you have more confidence in him than I do. go for it.
I mean, not necessarily. That's the thing about having them back to back right now, is like, and it's early, you know, we're not sure when.
Maybe he signs a deal like Robert did.
Right, exactly. If you were to tell me that he's going to start the season off up in the majors, then obviously he goes up a bit. But I have him at 41 because I had him, Tucker, and Robert kind of all clumped together. So, and like I said, this was just really early. So these guys are going to move a bit still. But Adele, I like the potential as much as, you know, the Blue Jays lineup is improving. You look at the potential in that Angels lineup with Rendon, Ohtani, Trout, you know, guys like LaStella and David Fletcher leading off. You put Adele there, I mean.
It's a solid lineup. His K, see, I don't know why people aren't worried about his K rate. I feel like there's a real chance that he's not a good batting average guy. And not to mention, didn't he like struggle in AAA last year? Or did he not even get to AAA? I'm trying to remember. I didn't look him up again, but.
My he did, is, yeah, he did struggle a bit in AAA last season.
And because of that, it's like, how much seasoning does he – he might need more seasoning than people realize in AAA. And people think he's going to be up after the first month, and that's possible. Or he could be up by midseason. Like, I don't – I'm not as optimistic on his potential call-up time. Either steamer with only projecting him for 7 home runs, 3 stolen bases – obviously not getting a lot of, I don't remember how many games, but with those projections, you aren't projected a lot of games. Actually, Steamer right. projects him 53 games. 52 games, sorry. 52 games Steamer projects him to play. They're even more pessimistic than I am.
Well, you know, I think it's entirely possible that had he not gotten hurt last season, you know, early on, he could have made his debut, you know, maybe last summer or,
I agree.
You know, near the end of the year.
But because of that, it set him back a little bit. I think spring training's going to matter. He's going to be a big spring training guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, I have him there at 41.
I can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally get it. Just not. I've just started coming down on him because, again, I'm closer to the belief, as of now, that he's going to just be down a little longer than I anticipate, or we all anticipate. Where do you have it's Eric Cross loves Garrett Hampson. I know you were big on him. I don't know if you're cooling on him, but where do you have Garrett Hampson?
I have Hampson down at 51.
Ooh, I'm higher than you. I'm surprised because I'm not that much of a Hampson guy. I don't think he's going to get the job. I don't know why. Blind pessimism.
Well, I mean, they did sign Chris Owings. They just keep throwing these guys in the mix that are going to be blocking these guys that we want to see, you know, in the lineup, like Hampson. And now, you know, we saw Sam Hilliard come up and flash some tremendous potential.
I really like Hilliard. I think Hilliard blocks him in center field.
Possibly, yeah. You got Charlie Blackman, David Dahl, Ian Desmond. I mean, there's just so many mouths to feed. Daniel Murphy, Ryan McMahon. Jeez, man. It's
player to be named later, Chris Owings. I'm trying to pull up the roster resource now. They have Hilliard still slotted in as a starter, yet we are way lower on him. And they have Hampson, Tapia. They don't have anything about Chris Owings on here at all.
Well, I know. I think he signed, was it a minor league deal? But I think I think it's like he gets like $1 million if he makes the.
Oh, he won't make the team. I'm not too worried. But actually, you know what? It's the Rockies. He'll be starting. So yeah. But yeah, I'm not too concerned about that. But yeah, still, I'm with you. I'm not optimistic about the playing time at all. And I want to move him down. I probably will, but I want to see what they do first because they are just such a crowded situation. So outside, I've been naming names. Who are a couple guys that you're just unsure about, or really high on, or low on that you would think compared to others?
Well, one guy I'm high on, I think I was the high guy in our Fantrax consensus rankings, was Brian Reynolds. Love Brian Reynolds. He could just hit. I mean, he in 4 professional seasons, including last season in the majors, he's never hit under 300. I mean, he's just a really good hitter. He hit 314 last season, 16 home runs, 3 steals in 134 games. He's projected a lead off right now for the Pirates. I think there's a little bit more speed in there. You know, I think there's potential for up to 10 steals. So if you're looking at like a 300 average, maybe 20 and 10, I think that's a possibility. So I'm a big Reynolds fan. Let's see.
One guy I think I was higher on, you have it in front of you so you could tell, but it was mm-hmm. David Peralta. I have, like, I think 56 or something like that. I should know the answer because I have my ranks in front of me. I have him at 57. And I don't know why he's so low for everybody. We're talking about he's a year removed from that 30 home run season. I know that's an outlier season, but I mean, we're still looking at a guy who he hit 293 in back-to-back seasons. So the batting average is there. He was hitting 275. He hit 275 last year in 99 games with 12 home runs. Why can't we get 270 and 25 out of him? And you're getting it. Look how late you're getting him. And I'm the high guy on him. You know what I mean? Right, as of right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why there's such a discount on him. Is there something I'm missing? Like, I know his chase rate was up a lot last year, and swing strike rate was also up, but he actually had a better contact rate, or not overall contact rate, but a better zone contact rate than 2018 when he hit 30 home runs. So, like, I'll take a little more swing and miss if he's going to hit the ball more, which it showed that the swing and miss showed because the batting average took a little bit of a hit compared to usual, but how much of that was him playing through injury as well? So,
right, yeah, and I think injury is a factor here, and then I think the fact that he has only had that one really good season.
But look, I mean, it's all baked in. I mean, there's still a few names. Don't get me wrong. There's a few names, like, for instance, Ian Happ offers a higher upside, I think, but I feel like Ian Happ is also at the point where, like, he's just another guy I pulled up because he's a guy I'm ready to talk about. You know, I spoke about him, I did tweet about him a little bit. The batting, you know, with him, it's the whole bunch of the plate discipline profile improved.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, he has 30 home run upside. We've seen the potential for that. I think he hit 26 last year between the majors and minors, and with 10 still upside, with a 240, 250 batting average, and he's going late. He's a guy I absolutely love. He's a nice sleeper of mine. He's going outside the top 300 right now. ADP, and he's a good guy that, like, it's like pick your poison. Do you take Peralta, who has the higher floor, or Happ with the higher ceiling? Peralta's likely going to slot right back into the middle of what's a surprisingly good lineup. That's another thing. He's going to hit like fourth or fifth in that D-backs lineup, which is actually really good, like under the radar good. Whereas Happ's going to hit bottom of the lineup, so I lean toward. That's why I have Peralta ranked higher too. So,
yeah, I mean.
Sorry, I know I went off on a whole Ian Happ tangent, but hey, spoiler, I like Ian Happ. He's ranked 63, and I might move him up if I can.
Yeah, Ian Happ and David Peralta here. I have Ian Happ at 68, and yeah, I'm with you. I like Happ. We'll see if he can, you know, get a grasp of one of those outfield spots in Chicago, but he did show some improvement, cut down on some strikeouts last season, and yeah, we know that the power is there. We know that he can get on base. So there's definitely some good things to like about Happ. We'll see. I hope he gets playing time.
Oh, I'm with you. And he's slotted to be a starter right now. You know, on the last podcast, we were talking about like 2020 guys, the 260 average. I hate to say this, but if you look at Victor Robles' projections and then you scroll all the way down to where we have, what's his name? Byron Buxton ranked, they have very similar projections. And they are going like 50 picks apart or 50 outfielder ranks apart. And I get it. Robles has the higher upside at this point. He has the prospect pedigree at this point. Byron Buxton, he has headaches. He gives us headaches. I'm not a Buxton guy, but I have him ranked 54. What are your thoughts on Buxton?
I mean, we know that he's got the potential for more. That we've been waiting for it for years now.
It's going to happen everyone gives up, like this year.
Right. He's going to finally stay healthy once everyone's ready to give up on him. Right. So, I mean, I have him right around the same range. I have him at 56.
Yeah.
I think you said you had him at 53?
54. And
okay,
it's
because
the 20 still upside.
Mm-hmm.
This late, it's hard to find. So, there's not much to say about Buxton. I don't want to harp on it. It is what it is. Like, we've all kind of given up. We're, like, all cautiously optimistic. And by cautiously, I mean, like, extremely cautiously. extreme caution's being taken. But still some optimism. But there's a group of old men, so to speak, here. And I have them all grouped together back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. McCutchen, Kane, Haniger, Upton, and Chu. All of which are great values this year. What do you think?
I'm with you. I have them right around the same range as well. I have Upton and McCutchen back to back at 49 and 50. McCutchen, especially.
My favorite.
Yeah. McCutchen, especially in OBP and points leagues.
Oh, forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, he could be right. He could be solid number three outfielder, top 30, maybe 35. But
he would jump up at least like 15 spots in my ranks if it was for points leagues and OBP leagues.
Yeah, because he's gonna lead off. We know he's gonna get on base, 100 runs. He could steal a few bags. 25, maybe 30 home runs.
I am curious to see how he runs because before the injury, he had like a 90-something percent sprint speed, a 91st percentile sprint speed, I believe. So if he's like closer to 85, maybe he's not putting as much on his leg and all that. That's still good enough for 10 steals if he actually steals. So
yeah,
I think there's 20, like you said, 25 and 10 with a 250, 260 batting average, but in OBP and points leagues all day. But even in regular 5x5, you can build for that batting average and you're getting 25 and 10. I think you're getting 25 and 10, maybe 25 and 7. I still think, and 100 runs. I think that's legitimately an outcome that will likely occur if he stays healthy.
I'm with you. Absolutely. Speaking of 25 and 10, one guy. Upton. I mean, Upton, that's a good point. Unfortunately, he had that toe injury. I remember watching that game and he just injured that toe playing a ball in the outfield and it just kind of threw his whole season off, but Upton here at 50, you're right. I mean, that's could be absolutely good value for, some steals and
these are all good values here, man.
A ton of power. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Upton and McCutchen I have here back to back and they're both good values. And I just wanted to touch on one guy I really like now, pretty late, Avisel Garcia. Love the landing spot for him in Milwaukee.
Okay, I want to talk about this because I was high on him too, and then I moved him down my ranks last time I updated him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk about what you like about him real quick and why, because I know why, but maybe other people don't. So I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, so I mean, he did hit 20 home runs and 10 steals last season with a .282 average, and I mean that was in Tampa Bay. He was one of 18 players to have at least a .282 batting average, 20 home runs, and 10 steals.
And that was limited because he got hurt last year at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, and he had the least amount of play appearances among them. All 17 of the other guys, besides Ryan Braun, Ryan Braun was actually another one of the 17. So 16 of them are going in the top 120. So you're getting top 120 value in the mid 250, like in the mid 200s, and Miller Park is a huge, change in park factors. So I think, 25 to 30 home runs. And if he can keep running, he's got the athleticism. He's more athletic than you think. And I think 10 to 15 steals are there.
I think a perfect season gives you like 30 and 20 on him.
My gosh.
That's like the perfect outcome, I think.
Yeah.
Seriously, like if he actually played every day there, it would not surprise me, but playing time is a legitimate concern. All the signings they've done lately, right now he's not even projected to start. He's the fourth outfielder, which still has value there because they have Kane, Yelich, and old man Braun. So there are always injuries, and he will probably play 3 to 4 games a week minimum in the outfield. So in weekly leagues, I don't want him, but in daily leagues, I will have a lot of shares because he will be cheap. But with Justin Smoke playing first, he's a switch hitter, but he hits better. I believe he's stronger from the left side of the plate, so he hits righties better.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have Braun probably spell him versus lefties type of thing. So that'll get Garcia in there 4 to 5 games a week, maybe even. So I think there's a path for playing time. It's just right now it's hard to really see where it's coming from because they have Healy on their bench, which again, I mean, that's infield, but it just keeps like Healy could play first. You know what I mean? Affects the idea of Braun going to the infield a little bit possibly. So it's just something to watch. I'm not sure of the playing time, but I think there's enough there to warrant taking a late round stab at him for sure. Even in weekly leagues, he doesn't have to start for you, but he's definitely worth grabbing at the end of drafts. I'm 100% with you, but I have my concerns.
Okay, that's fair. One guy now in our last episode, you had Nick Senzel inside your top 40.
I did.
I have him at 46. Does the signing of Shogo Akiyama, does that concern you at all?
Yeah, it does. And I didn't honestly fix my rankings to say that yet, but I have a hard time thinking that they're just giving up on Senzel. Or maybe I need to think more along the lines of maybe Senzel won't be ready for the season. Maybe that injury is going to linger into the season. So yeah. I might have to adjust my rankings. I thought about it, but I haven't adjusted my rankings as such yet because I'm still wildly optimistic that how do you sit that type of, like, why is he not playing over Winker?
Right. They have Winker and Aquino in the other corner outfield spots with Shogo in center field. So, yeah, you wonder where does Senzel go? Does he go back into the infield?
Ooh, I would love that.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And let's see, second base, they have Mike Moustakas. Never mind. Yeah, where would he play in the infield, though?
Possibly maybe shortstop. I think they still have Freddy Galvis.
Does he? But I don't know if Senzel played shortstop.
Yeah, I don't think he's played much shortstop.
I think he's done second and third. I think third. I know second, but either way, I mean, he's an athlete, though, so he could probably pick it up. But still, I would love to see him get infield eligibility. That would help it. But, yeah, you're right. Like, I probably didn't factor that enough into my ranks. He might move down. But, again, these are early roster. Like, roster resources just taking their best educated guess, which is better than my educated guess. But it's still a December – or, sorry, excuse me, it's a January depth chart with little – information to go on.
So. Exactly. Yeah. It's still really early. Now, one guy you and I both comped to Senzel was Dylan Carlson for St. Louis.
I'm coming off of him a little bit though, man. I love him, but where's the playing time coming from? Like, they are so crowded there right now. And if they sign Ozuna, forget about it.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point. I have him down at 66.
Sorry. I think I have him like 70. I moved him down to like 77, man. And you know me, I was the high man on him, 74. I was huge on him. I moved him down that low because I lack the confidence in the playing time. He's by far probably the best like outfielder they have right now, and he can easily be blocked for half a year because they have Tommy Edman, O'Neill, Bader, and let's just face it, they're paying all that money too, so they're probably never going to sit him ever.
Fowler.
Fowler, thank you.
Yeah, Dexter Fowler. You look at the Cardinals, their competitive window is now. I just don't see why they would keep him down. I don't see why they would mess with that. If he's going to come up and automatically be their best outfielder, and I mean, given that's, you know, with them not bringing back Ozuna, obviously that would throw a big wrench in things as well. But as far as Carlson goes, but if things go into the season as they stand right now, I don't see how – you know, come May, June, I don't see how you don't have Carlson in that lineup. And I think, you know, you and I both kind of first name we thought of was Nick Senzel as far as what Carlson can bring to the table. This season, I kind of first thing I thought of was, you know, maybe around 400 plate appearances, 15 home runs, 12 steals.
That would be awesome. Or vice versa, even if the power kind of showed just for the first time last year, even if it was more like a 10 home run, 15 steals, like, it's still, we're talking like a solid good value. Like this year's Mercado for me, you know what I mean? Somebody I plan on, like, he's gonna be a guy I come out of, if I have an NA spot or something in my redraft leagues, I'm gonna be stashing him. But like, I'm like, why won't they move on from Matt Carpenter? You take Carpenter off third base, you put Edmund at third base, and then there's a spot right there for Carlson. Carlson's a switch, and Matt Carpenter's a lefty, but Carlson's a switch hitting bat too. So it's not like you're losing a lefty out of the lineup either, you know?
Yeah, and they just gave Carpenter that extension before last season. Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Just another Fowler taking up a spot that, I mean, Matt Carpenter, I feel like I'd rather have Matt Carpenter over Fowler, which isn't saying much, but it's like, we saw, man, I feel like Carpenter is just who he is now. People were like, he had that really good 6 weeks in 2018, which carried his value into 2019 as far as the fantasy asset goes, but I don't know. I feel like maybe he's better in real life. That's what it is. I'm sure he is, but I'm pretty down on him. Let's see. I mean, I like your boy Yaz over there in San Fran, man. I think he's a sneaky little power hitter. 250 and 25 is realistic, I think.
250, 25? Yeah, I could see that. I think we both have him in the same range. I have him at a nice 69 for my boy Yaz.
I have Hayes there. Austin Hayes, who I'm actually a big fan of too, I think offers a little more upside. I'm making that switch now, actually.
I have Hayes right in that range too. I have him at 71.
I have Isael Garcia. that's an inside joke there. It's Isael Garcia, obviously. God, Zach, I still laugh at that. Yeah, I have him at 71. That is just because of my pessimism with the playing time, but I don't know, man. Adam Eaton, kind of. I think I'm a little low on him. I feel like Eaton belongs in those in that tier with the Upton's, the McCutcheon's. I feel like I got to make that switch because he's a guy that you know you're getting 15-15 out of him, but with a 280 batting average, like that's basically Lorenzo Cain. And yet I have him ranked 10 spots lower. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, same here. I Maybe have him at 59.
It must be the injury concerns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Man, these are all sleepers. We're getting to it's crazy. Look how AJ Pollock has fallen, man. He's just the injury. You just can't ignore the injuries. You know who I do like, and I think people are scared off of him now because of the Susu Go. Which, by the way, Susu Go needs to be put in my ranks. I think I gotta make that happen. He's definitely top 80 for sure now. The power upside's legit. Dang, where would you put Susu Go on the fly? I think he's a top. I might put Susu Go as high as like Andrew McCutcheon range. I really like him.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would put him that high quite yet.
I'm ready. I'm ready to put him right there, right behind Jock Peterson and before Byron Buxton. So 54 for me.
Okay. I have Peterson at 53, Buxton at 56. I think I'd be okay with that.
I think that's where he's going to settle. I think the upside is worth taking a shot there for sure. Sorry, because I know Susu Go needs to be added. And so does the other guy. I can't say his name. You just talked about him too.
Shogo Akiyama.
Yeah, let's give her. I mean, I don't know. I know Susugo's power. I've seen the videos. I've done a little research. It's legit. I think it comes with a decent batting average too potential. So I'm all about him. I think the Rays are gonna do the right. I think the Rays are gonna hopefully do the right thing. Where do you put this other guy at? I'm not too familiar with him. Obviously, if he's leading off, I think he has some speed, a little bit of power speed combination, if I remember reading correctly. But I don't know much about him otherwise.
As far as Akiyama goes,
yeah. Akiyama.
Ah, man. I actually think I might put him ahead of Susugo.
Really? Is there because there's a speed aspect to him, right?
Right, yeah. And yeah, as far as these rankings go.
Okay, it's interesting. I'm going to have to dig more into him. I honestly didn't. I keep forgetting to because he's just it's one of those things that he was signed and not really much has been said about him. At least maybe I wasn't on Twitter that day, which is weird because I'm on Twitter all the time. But yeah, I guess I should circle back to the main person. Was Renfro was the guy that made me think of Susugo. I think Renfro is going to get an everyday spot. Like, I know he hits better versus left. He crushes lefties and struggles versus righties. But if there's a team to trust with fixing a player, I think the Rays are them. And Renfro is a heck of a defender. So I don't think he's going to – I think he'll stay on the field just for that reason, if anything else. And we know even with the bad splits against righties, you know you're getting like upwards of 30 home runs.
Yeah, he's I don't think the Rays are going to necessarily fix his splits, but I mean, you're like probably looking at a platoon. So but when he is in the lineup, yeah. Weak side of a platoon. So I mean,
I don't want that then. But I think they're going to try, man. I think they're going to try to fix him. It's hard. I'm trying to think who they would platoon him with, and I'd have to look at their roster. But I think it's right now, Nate Lau, or is it Nate? It's Brandon Lau or Nate Lau? Which one's Lau? One's Low.
I don't know.
I think it's Nate Low, Brandon Lau. I could be wrong. I probably am, honestly. I think it's Nate Low, though. And I'm going to look at the Rays roster resource, not Nate Low's page. But Low, I think, is the one that's the odd man out right now because of Choi and Susugo. And I want to see who they would platoon Renfro with, basically. And that was the thing I was surprised. Like, unless it's Susugo. Which I don't think, but I don't know. I'm trying to pull it up. It's loading.
Yeah, I have, where do I have Renfro? I have him down at 73.
I have him at 65.
Yeah, there's only maybe just a few guys that I'm perfectly okay
there's
with.
There's nobody I can see platooning with him. What, maybe Brousseau, Michael Brousseau, Daniel Robertson? You know what I mean? Like, the names aren't that flashy. I think Renfro has a legitimate shot of sticking every day. And it would take a lot to not improve on I think he hit 200 against righties last year. It would take a lot not to improve.
Yeah. And I mean, well, he does have, you know, good defense going for him as well.
That's what I'm saying. So I think there's a way to stick in that lineup. And he's a good example of somebody to shoot at late for a need base type of thing. Home runs, basically power. So Yeah, not many more names. Let's talk about these last, we both have a final five. And a couple of mine, I think, for instance, I dropped Victor Reyes out of mine. I think I should drop Josh Rojas out of it because Rojas is another guy who's getting squeezed because of the Calhoun signing. which I'm really upset about because I really liked Josh Rojas this year.
Yeah.
But who are a couple of your final guys on this top 80 of yours?
Yeah, a couple of my final guys here. I mean, Domingo Santana.
Down, I'm with you. We both have him there.
We'll see, you know, where he ends up.
If he's a starter or not.
Yeah, and I think him, you know, he pretty much is who he is at this point as well. You're looking at, you know, 30% plus, you know, strikeouts, but 30 home run pop and maybe, you know, add in 10, some speed. Yeah, it's about maybe 10 home runs.
Which is crazy, 30 and 10 potential going. I guess a lot of it depends on where he lands because he could be a fourth outfielder. If he's a fourth outfielder, obviously the value is where it is, but he could shoot up 20 spots tomorrow. So he's somebody to keep your eye on wherever he lands. It really matters.
So say he ends up with the Orioles and they pull something similar, like, you know, what they like, Jonathan Villar last season.
Mm-hmm. If he ends up with the Orioles, oh man, I love him.
Yeah.
I'm upset I didn't get any early shares.
You know, but there's not too many situations where he'd go in and you would imagine that he'd be starting, you know, right away. So yeah, I mean, he's down here at 77 for a reason.
Kevin Pillar sticks out to me down here. I have him down here anyway.
He's another one that I was going to highlight right now. I have him at the end here at 80. Yeah,
I have him at 78, okay.
Yeah, and he's just another guy that, I mean, yeah, fifth outfielder. You need someone who could provide a little bit of, you know, home runs and steals. You know, 15 and 15.
Not, I was saying, he's like a poor man's Adam Eaton. He lacks the batting average.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mark Canna, I'm too low on. I need to move Canna up, but I have a hard time moving him up. But he's just a solid 250, 25 home run guy. So it's like, yeah, like how useful is that, is my point. But then at the same time, I'm all about, like, I have Austin Riley ranked like 20 spots ahead of him, and that's pretty much what he's expected to do too. So I think Riley just offers more upside.
Riley's a little concerning, especially if they bring Donaldson back. I mean,
well, yeah, he's definitely concerning. I'm a little more. I haven't drafted him at all. I'm just ranking him as if he's a starter because I like the team context. But if he's not the starter, then yeah, he flip-flops really quickly with somebody like a Canna.
Yeah, just, I mean, right now third base is just an option for Riley because, you know, he came up playing third base. We're talking about outfield here where he played last season. But that strikeout rate, that's concerning. You know, you just hope that he doesn't strike his way out of the lineup.
I see what you did there.
How do you feel about Trent Grisham?
I like him. I think he's like one of those just solid, quietly solid names that you just kind of grab as a fifth outfielder. He's going as like a sixth outfielder in NFB, early NFBC leagues, man. He's not even like, I think Mike actually just got him in ours as like his bench outfielder. 23 years old, offers a little bit of everything, you know, a little bit of power, a little bit of speed. I mean, definitely, well, not a little bit, a lot of his speed. He stole 37 in 2017, but last couple of years he's been closer. Like last year, he had 2018, he had 11 in 107 games, and then last year, adding it all up, he had 13 in, like, I can't even do the math on the game amount right now. It's actually close to a full season, it looks like. So I don't know. I think there's, but he actually had more home runs. I don't know. He's weird, man. I'm looking at his profile. There's like he blew up on the speed aspect. The home run side of things last year. And drop the speed down. So I don't know what to expect with him, but I know there's upside, and there's good plate or decent plate discipline. I'm so all over the place with him, man. He's a wild card, but he's a free one. He's a lottery ticket.
Yeah, my neighborhood sucks. And there go the police. Right, but okay, there they go. All right. Oh, there's some more.
To leave this or to take it out? I haven't decided yet. Go ahead.
All right. Now we're good. No more police. Last season, what was it? Looking like 33 total home runs and 13.
Yeah, I can't count. I tried counting. I was like, let me break it down because it's getting late here and I got a lot of stuff to still do. 2:30 in the morning. Jesus Christ. What did I do to myself? But yeah, go ahead. You were saying
32 home runs and 13 steals across, you know, between AA, AAA, and then the bit of time he spent in the majors. So yeah, good combo player. I mean, the Padres aren't lacking for outfielders, so you wonder if he maybe gets the strong side of a platoon. Would still like him there, you know, in daily leagues. I think, like you said, he's going as outfielder six right now. I'll take that. Take a shot on Grisham.
Well, yeah, I mean, and if it's points or OBP, he gains value because he definitely has a good on-base percentage. He always has. I think the lowest one I see here is 356. Sorry, 328 in his cup of coffee. But that's not typical for him. His BABIP was extremely low last year and everything. So, I don't know. I think there's a lot of upside here. And he's free. So, I like that. And the last one I'll mention is Sam Hilliard. I mentioned him on the last podcast or two podcasts ago, I think. Just a guy that solid power-speed combination and could have cores as a home. Just got to see how his playing time plays out. It's as simple as that. Because if he starts, he's going to be somebody that shoots up like 30 spots in rankings.
Yeah, Hilliard was one I have here as well. He's someone I was just going to mention. So glad you touched on him. I guess the last name I have here, I have at 78, Gregory Polanco.
I have him a little higher, but I get it. 72.
Yeah, I mean, it's been year, you know, the last time he's been healthy, it's been going on 4 or 5 years now. You know, he's got the potential. Every time he does play, he plays well. So
when he plays, exactly.
When he plays, right. When he plays,
I'm a Gregory Polanco guy. Like, I haven't quit him, and this is the year I'm finally done with him. He'll go 2020. It's going to happen because I'm not on him like I have been in the past. So.
Right, yeah. So
I do want to ask you about one guy. Just not where, not what you think of him. There's no analysis needed for this guy. Where do you have Malik Smith ranked?
I have Malik at 58.
I have him at 80. I'm done. Yeah. I don't do rabbits. He hurts. Name something he helps you in besides steals. Are steals really that valuable that you're willing to take a hit in every other category for him?
I mean, he has helped in batting average before.
I guess. I literally have him at 80, and I put him there knowing like I was going to be the low man, but I don't care. I don't value his stolen bases, because even if it's just stolen bases and batting average, we just talked about a few guys that, although obviously they don't offer the same 30 stolen base upside, I'd rather not be stuck taking potentially 3.5, because I'll give him batting average. Say he hits 270, 3.5 category hit otherwise.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just my personal opinion. Not everyone's going to agree with that. A lot of people will still take Smith because of the perceived value, because of how stolen bases are addressed, but I want nothing to do with them. And on that note, I'm willing to end the podcast.
Yeah, I think that's good.
All right, I'm just saying, because unless you wanted to add on it, but there really isn't much to add on him.
There's really not. I mean, he's up there because of the steals. You hope that he can hit well.
Exactly, it's a bunch of empty hope. You know what else is offer? You know what else offers empty hope? I don't know. I don't want to be depressing. Just a lot of things in life offer empty hope, and I don't need more in my fantasy sports. Okay, gosh.
Hey, well, I mean, he did have 6 home runs last season, so he wasn't a complete zero there.
You know, also had 6 home runs. I don't know. D Gordon, maybe. I'm guessing. I don't know. He probably had 3, and D Gordon didn't even play full time. It doesn't matter. Anyway. Guys, we appreciate listening. We hope you found this valuable. There was a lot. We talked pretty much, like I said, almost every name mentioned here is a sleeper in some form or fashion. As always, you can find our work on Fantrax HQ, on Twitter. You can find us. I'm at Mike_Kurland. Zach is at not here. George is at Roto_Nino. And if you guys could leave us that rating and review, we greatly appreciate it. It helps us be seen more on iTunes. It helps us grow and all that good stuff. I can't ever think of the words. Every so often I get the wording right for that, but regardless, I think visibility is one of the words I'm using lately. Not the right word, but it does help with that. Regardless, guys, we appreciate you listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, and we will talk to you soon.